Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, by your very presence here through the Holy Spirit, stir our souls so we hear your word as we learn that the abundant life is found only in Christ, who has redeemed our souls, all by your grace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't exactly remember when. Whether it's Christmas of fourth grade or Christmas of fifth grade, but the when really doesn't matter. What matters is the what. We were over at some family friends from the church, and it was there for a little Christmas party, and at their home, on a table was a little Christmas tree. And running around that little Christmas tree on that little table was a little train set, running in just a simple oval around the tree. And I was mesmerized by that little train. I think I spent most of the evening with the train controls going forward, backwards, faster, slower, just having the time of my life. It was a simple layout, real small. It was N-gauge, you know, small N-gauge. I mean, it's really teeny tiny. There's a smaller gauge, it's called Z-gauge. Now that's tiny. But the N-gauge, it was just a little engine with a few cars just rolling around the tree. And mesmerized by that little train, I just knew I had to get an N-scale train set of my own. Now those thoughts went to the back of my brain and memory once Christmas rolled around and I had the opportunity to open my Christmas presents. And if I remember correctly, in all that year, one of the G.I. Joe action sets I unwrapped, you know, I was really into G.I. Joes. We're talking the nice 12-inch size one, the good size ones. I was really into those action figures. And I think that year I received the 8 Ropes of Danger set. That's what it was called, the 8 Ropes of Danger. And in this 8 Ropes of Danger, G.I. Joe is a deep sea diver. Yeah, deep sea diver. The set came with all the gear. There was the suit. It was a rubberized suit, actually. There was the bell helmet. There was boots. There was a belt weighted with real lead weights. And there was lead shoe weights to put on, too. And you put the G.I. Joe in all the gear, and you're ready for your next adventure. The deep sea treasure chest. You had to go find it. In the water he goes, and that lead overcomes the buoyancy of the action figure. And when it's time to return to the surface, you just blow some air into the pipe, and the bell helmet fills with a big bubble of air, and it rises back up. You know, it's pretty cool toy. No batteries also, but pretty cool toy. The octopus, though, you had to watch out for those 8 ropes of danger. The octopus was on patrol protecting his treasure. At that time, it was easy to forget for the moment about that fantastic train running around that little Christmas tree. Spring rolls around, and I was blessed to live in a town where I could ride my bicycle just about anywhere. So I took my bike, rode the bike trail around all the way over to the department store, and it just happened to be on sale, a starter and scale train set. I just had to have it. In that set was track, transformer, and a small train. I remember the little green tender locomotive. There was a couple chars and, of course, a caboose, which was red. Caboose, they have to be red. Cabooses are always red. So, I mean, I just had to have it. I think I recall, if I correctly, paid about $12 of my own money for this set. And then I set off for home with the train set in the shopping bag, hanging off my bicycle handlebars with the hugest of smiles on my face. I couldn't wait to get home. Now, some other time, ask me about the train set I was building around my bedroom a year later or so. That's another story. But as I grew up, that G.I. Joe's gave way to trains, and in the bicycles gave way to motorcycles. I started building plastic models, mostly World War II armor, and started creating dioramas for those World War II armor ending contests, and then radio control. Oh, I was always on the lookout for the next radio control thing. I have many of those things packed in my basement. I mean, when I was a kid in high school, I had a great RC car. But then that new RC car I saw, that kid I wanted to build, you know, I had to get that new one. The enthusiasm of the newness, the enjoyment soon ebbed off, so I had to get the next RC car. And I just had to get the next RC car. The thrill and excitement, I enjoyed building the kits too. I'm sure all of you know those feelings. You get something, it's great, you just had to have it. But eventually you see something else, oh, I gotta have that, it's great, you gotta have it. And then you forget about what you already had and it just accumulates on. I have a basement full of stuff like that. In Solomon's words, meaningless. That emotion, it fades away like a vapor. Ecclesiastes, the teacher, the preacher, the collector of sayings, after a long life with all its experiences, along with deep reflection, powered by the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, sums it up. It's all vapor. It's meaningless. It's a fleeting breath. And to really understand the meaning of this word, come winter time, step outside and exhale a deep breath. And you see your breath for just a moment, that brief moment, and then it's gone. It's there, and then it's not there. That's what this meaningless, brevity, brief vapor. The things of this world are like that breath breathed out in the winter air that just there and gone. It fades away. Life fades away. Stuff breaks. Stuff wears out. Stuff gets old. Stuff falls apart. It loses its appeal. It fades away, and it's gone. Think of this. How many iconic stores are now gone? Woolworths, Marshall Fields, Mervyn's, Gimbel Brothers, Montgomery Ward, Radio Shack, Blockbuster, KB Toys, Toys R Us, The Limited, and Sears. Sears, that had the catalog in the 1890s, was about 500 pages thick. And if you were a farmer in the 1890s out in the middle of nowhere, you could order just about anything. You could even order a house. You know there were Sears houses? Gone. All gone. Like the breath of a vapor. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 2. That same word is found there in different tenses. That word meaningless or translated vanity sometimes. In that one verse, that same word is found 5 different times in different tenses. Really wants us to hear that, doesn't he? 5 times emphasis for here. The root word is hebel, and it means emptiness, it means vanity, it means something transitory and unsatisfactory. It just doesn't last. It's like trying to grab the wind. You just can't grab hold of the wind. You come up empty. Even after a lifetime of work, it's empty. More than that, what you have accumulated, you just can't take with you. There's no U-Haul service to heaven. All the tools my dad accumulated over the years have been making their way to my basement, and I've been putting them to good use, making lots of sawdust. And that sawdust somehow seems to get everywhere and onto everything. It's tools he no longer uses. Now, it's not the same as Herb borrowing from Dagwood. No, my dad realizes his days of using these tools have passed. And so now he's pleased to pass them on to me because I'm making sawdust with them, plus some other furniture things. But it seems like lots of sawdust. And Solomon writes about that. You do all this work and then someone after you receives the benefit. Solomon wrote this in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, that after striving hard, working a lifetime, all that has been accumulated is left to another who did not have to work for it. And who knows whether that one will be wise or foolish? A research group, Williams Group Wealth Consultancy, writes that 70% of wealthy families lose their wealth by the second generation. A whopping 90% of what is the ultra wealthy of their families lose the wealth by the third generation of inheritance. It's just fleeting, like a vapor. Job said it well when he responded to the devastation of loss of livestock and children and loss of everything. Job chapter 1, verse 21. And Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Turning our attention to Luke chapter 12 and the setting of the parable known as the rich fool. One in the crowd calls out to Jesus to settle the inheritance dispute. Jesus was teaching in such authority that this one thought, you know, maybe Jesus is just the person that will give me a favorable answer to this inheritance dispute I have with my brother. Jesus replies back, he's in no position to do so. He's no judge. He's no magistrate. He's not the one to decide the case. Jesus said, "I'm not the one to ask." But Jesus was after the man's heart. And so Luke chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus gives a warning. Jesus said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundancy of his possessions." Have you ever noticed the number of families that fight over the will and inheritance disputes that come about because of the will? And it ends up destroying the family. What is more important, the stuff that the will distributes or family? Be on your guard. The word translated in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, translated as greed, in the Greek is a compound word. And the first part of the word means numerically more. The second part of the word means have to hold, have to possess. So numerically more, you have to hold, you have to possess. It's just not enough. It's never enough. Must have, must possess, numerically more. It's covetousness. It is avarice. This is lusting after more and more of the temporal things, the things of the earth. And Jesus plainly states, he states it as clear as can be, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Have you noticed TV commercials and their trend on how they sell the products today? It's not about what the product is capable of doing. It's not that at all. They're selling experiences. If you buy this product, you will have this experience. And it's experience to make you feel good. So if you're feeling bad and down and out, buy this product. It'll make you have the experience you want to have. This will be your experience. You just have to buy what we're selling. But I'm sure you know it's empty, it's vanity, it's a vapor, as Ecclesiastes says. I ask you, what does rescuing a dog from an animal shelter and bringing the dog to a farm to live have to do with Mercedes-Benz SUV? Have you seen that commercial? You know what I mean. What does that have to do with a Mercedes-Benz? They're selling you the experience, that feel good of rescuing a dog. And if you do that, you can get a Mercedes-Benz. You know, it's not there. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. If that's true, and it is true, what does the abundant life look like? If it's not in possessions, what does it look like? So I begin to give you this answer from two movies that I annually watch, usually around Christmas times. If it's not the abundance of possessions, what is the abundant life? What does it look like? The first movie is Frank Capra's movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Now, a little aside, each time I hear the angel's name at the beginning of the movie mentioned, I'm reminded that I was almost named Clarence. My mom's dad's name was Clarence. Honestly, I am thankful I was not named Clarence. Now, even though I do enjoy the angel character very much, but you know, Clarence's previous century type of name. But that's not why I watched the movie and commend the movie to you. The reason is George Bailey.
and the way he lived life as compared to Mr. Potter. Time and time and time again, a crisis arose and George had to make a decision. His dad dies and George has to give up his dream of college. There's a run on the bank and George gives up all his own honeymoon money to save the building and loan. Time and time again, compassion and kindness is shown by George to the other people. Whereas, Mr. Potter is a stuffy, grumpy old man. Did you notice the new movie never resolves the thievery of Mr. Potter? He would not be satisfied until he owns and controls all of the town of Bedford Falls. But that thievery puts George in danger of jail, and he's willing to jump off a bridge and end his life till he learns that he has a wonderful life. Even in that old falling down building with that loose banister knob, surrounded by a loving family and children and a town of friends touched by his compassion through the years. You may say, though he didn't realize it at the time, George Bailey lived an abundant life. The other movie. It's the musical version of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Released in 1970, Albert Finney plays Scrooge. Compare Bob Cratchit and Ebenezer Scrooge. Bob Cratchit with his little small house, a wife, hardly anything to live on it, his children, and they're a happy family. He's a happy man. Ebenezer Scrooge, with more than enough money, is miserable. Bah, humbug. Now his nephew, Fred, is a happy man. Mr. Fezziwig is a happy man, especially when being extravagantly generous, throwing a Christmas party. And Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, gives up on the woman he loves, Isabel Fezziwig, for business work. He would not leave his work to go after her when she went back and gave him the engagement ring. He would not go after her. She knew, Isabel Fezziwig knew, Ebenezer had already married himself to his work. A successful man by worldly standards. Very wealthy, yet very lonely and hollow life, like the real Howard Hughes. Till the redeeming moment, as Scrooge learns, compassion and caring for people makes a meaningful life. Doing for others, concern for others, using the resources he has to help others, including healing Tiny Tim. Scrooge came to find that is the abundant life, not his possessions, but the people around him making a difference in their lives. Summing it up, living for yourself or living for others? Living in the light of the here and now or living in the light of eternity? Jesus came to give us life, abundant life. And that life is found only in him. Jesus sums up the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12 thusly. It's verse 21. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up for himself but is not rich towards God. It's the characteristics of a covetous man for himself. Like Mr. Potter was covetous to gain all of Bedford Falls. Like Ebenezer Scrooge was trying to gain everything till Scrooge was changed. The parable of the rich fool's folly was thinking only for himself. Store it up for yourself. Mr. Fezziwig saw the good in throwing a party. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Micah 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Living the abundant life is living with eyes on eternity and being with the Lord. Being with the Lord God as the forgiven, redeemed children of God. Since we are loved and redeemed, we use the resources the Lord has entrusted to us as stewards to advance the kingdom of God, to make a difference so another comes to know Christ. Enjoy life, yes, but not at the expense of foregoing generosity, mercy, or compassion. I shared this quote with you last week, but the words fit so well this week, I share it again with you. It's from George Mueller. I ask you, my dear reader, a few questions in all love, because I seek your welfare. I do not wish to put these questions to you without putting them first to my own heart. Do you make it your primary business, your first great concern, to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Are the things of God, the honor of His name, the welfare of His church, the conversion of sinners, and the profit of your own soul your chief aim? Or does your business, your family, or your own temporal concerns in some shape or other primarily occupy your attention? Is it the things of God that occupy your attention and all your resources are available for? Your time, your possessions, showing mercy and compassion like George Bailey? Or you're thinking to yourself like that farmer who said, I got plenty, my barns aren't big enough, let's tear the barns down so I can build bigger barns and keep all this for myself. Which is it? In a small box in my basement are some N-scale train track. Few train cars, that little green tender engine is there too. One day, my girls will have to decide what to do with that box. That stuff is of the earth. But you, my beloved friends, you and your souls are much more. Eternity is open to you. The redeeming grace of God is for you and for all people. We have seen what wickedness of the world can do this past weekend in El Paso and also in Dayton. Will you make it your primary concern, the kingdom of God, His honor, His righteousness, His name, His church, His gospel? Will you make it your primary concern? For in doing so, you will live the abundant life. Amen and amen.